I am Josh Felber. Welcome back to Making Bank. I am really excited today. We have a totally different guest than anybody I've had online. His name is Craig Clemens, and this is a whole area I've been really trying to research and dive myself into, is the field of copywriting. And when it comes to writing brand messages that turn in millions of people into happy customers, there is no one more effective than Craig Clemens. In the last 2 years, Craig has written three of the four biggest direct-to-consumer campaigns on the internet, as ranked by Adbeat, the most successful, bringing in 33,600 new customers in its first 2 days live all over the internet, and doing so at a profit. It's not uncommon for his brand stories to go viral, with a recent message viewed by a startling 28 million people and another by 22 million people. Craig honed his craft mentoring under legendary entrepreneur Evan Pagan, and now spends his time working with his own team of up-and-coming writers. Craig is an avid investor and advisor to tech startups, including Endela and Zenrez. There you go. And always looking for new opportunities to add value. Craig, welcome to Making Bank.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So give me a little bit about your background. I mean, how'd you get into the whole field of copywriting? And maybe we're skipping way ahead because I've talked to you a little bit, so I kind of know a little bit of your story. But tell us a little bit of your background and, you know, where you got to you are today.
Yeah, so my background is actually in telemarketing, phone sales. I used to work in phone rooms like boiler room style, except we weren't selling financial services. We were selling tools and nice. Industrial supplies like sets of wrenches and drill bits, things like that.
Were you a natural at it? Was it something that you had to work at? Because I've run some telemarketing rooms for different companies that I've owned, so I totally know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty solid, I guess. I wasn't like one of the best salespeople, but I would put some numbers up. What I was good at, and I didn't realize what I was doing at the time, however, but like when we would get a new product in to sell, I would write up the pitch for it. And then, you know, oftentimes my pitch would get copied and sent to all the other guys in the office.
Sure.
And I'd be like, no, they can't use that shit, man. I need that, you know, but that's just how it works. I didn't know it at the time, but I was writing sales copy. And it was interesting because, you know, now, of course, I do that for a living, right. Actual writing. And there was a in between time when I started working for Evan Pagan, who's an internet marketer, sure. That brought me out of the phone room and writing room, so to speak. And when I first started writing copy for him, I was terrible. And, you know, I think actually if I would have treated that sales copy more like a one-on-one conversation with someone, it would have done a lot better, you know?
Okay. So when you first started writing your sales copy, what was your focus? Because you said you weren't writing kind of like you were talking to the person one-on-one.
Yeah, maybe that was skipping ahead a little bit. Let me give some little bit more.
I knew we cut out a little bit, but I was going to see if you're going to bring it back around.
Yeah. So, I was working one dead-end telemarketing job to another, from tools and supplies to selling credit card merchant accounts to mortgages. And the mortgage one, I was actually on one of those dialer machines, you know, where right. Like you'd call like 200 homeowners in an hour and get hung up on by 199 of them. It was fucking hell. But you had to pay your dues in the telemarketing room to become a mortgage broker at this company.
Sure.
And then, yeah, I had a friend. His name was Evan Pagan. And I spoke to him one day, and we hadn't talked in a while. And at this point, I was in a bad place, man. I was, about 23 years old. I'd been doing these dead-end telemarketing jobs for three, 4 years. I had one that made me a little bit of money, and it was a straight commission thing. And then I spent it all and didn't pay taxes on it. So I owed like 30 grand in back taxes. And I didn't have any money even to, go out and eat other than, I remember a $2 drink night was my savior.
That was ramen noodles and $2 drink night.
Yeah, I was definitely one of the guys, if we went downtown San Diego where the drinks cost actual money, you know, my friends and I would be drinking the bottle of whiskey in the parking lot to not have to buy drinks in the nightclub. Reached out to my old friend Evan Pagan to see what he was doing, and he told me how he had written an ebook on how to meet women called Double Your Dating. And I was like, what the hell is an ebook, man? He's like, well, it's a book, but it's an electronic book. And I was like, what's an electronic book? And he's like, well, they get a file and they print it out at home. And I was like, so it's like a Word document? He's like, no, it's actually what's called a PDF. And I was like, okay, so you're selling this? Like, people pay you money for this? And he's like, yeah, it'd sell for $40. Like, so they pay you money for nothing, basically. And he's like, no, it's for they want the information inside. And I was like, all right, man, that sounds like a scam. And he's like, well, yeah, I made, $17,000 selling that ebook last month. And I was like, what the fuck? Really? Same, man. Well, okay. If the cops come knocking on your door, I'm still your friend, you know, enjoy that. But I thought it was bullshit.
Yeah.
So then I talked to him about, a couple months after that. And I'm like, hey, how's that ebook going? Are you still out in the free world? The feds haven't come knocking on your door yet. And he's like, no, it's an information product. People happily pay the money. No one asks for a refund because the content in this book is really good. And they don't need an actual, like, hard copy book. You know, this is early internet days.
Right.
Of course, now ebooks have taken over. But, you know, pre-Kindle. And so he told me at that point he was making $70,000 a month selling the ebook. I was like, all right, man, I'm convinced. I'm going to come work for you. I don't care what you need me to do. You need me to make you some coffee. I can shine your shoes. I can do your dry cleaning. You know, I just want to find out what the fuck you're doing with this ebook and how I can make one too. And he's like, ha, 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 yeah, whatever, man. So we hung up the phone, and I went back to my depressing telemarketing job. So I looked at this ebook, though, and it was pretty interesting, and it had some, like, interesting tips on, like, you know, where to take a girl on a first date and, like, what to say to, start a conversation with a woman in a bar, things like that. And he sent out this email newsletter as well. And this is early email days, you know, but I subscribed, and I noticed, like, two or three times a week I'd get these tips from him. And his alter ego was he has a pen name, so to speak, was David D'Angelo. And these tips would come, and they would be written in a very personal manner. So imagine opening up your inbox, and it would say, hey, Josh, if you're sitting home alone tonight and not sure when your next date is going to be, then you and I need to talk. Because it wasn't too long ago when I was right there where you are, sitting at home, you know, absolutely like frustrated with my dating life. And then I came across a guy who showed me some secrets about how to start conversations with women. And I went out and I used them, and I talked to five girls that night, and three of them gave me their phone numbers. And by that weekend, I had gone on dates with all three of them, and they were calling me afterwards and asking me when we were going to go out again. It changed my life. And I want to share with you one of these secrets today. You know, and then I would share like a tip on how to start a conversation with women. And it would say, if you'd like to learn more of these, I wrote everything I learned from this guy in this ebook called Double Your Dating, and you can get it right here for $40. So he would send out these newsletters three times a week, and I was like, that's pretty brilliant. But I could write one of these things. I bet I could. So I remember one night, it was like a Friday night, and I had stayed home from the club, which was rare for me at the age of 23. And I sat down. I'm like, I'm going to write one of these newsletters. And I was careful to – I started writing to write it in his, like, conversational tone.
Sure.
So like, dear friend. That's how they all started off. if you're serious about – meeting women and getting more dates, then what I have to tell you is going to be really important, you know. And I just filed that same style, and I wrote. I remember what it was. It was the headline was Two Tips to Kiss a Girl.
Nice.
And I wrote it like two tips to like go for a kiss without rejection, and I sent that to Evan. And on Monday, I got an email back, and he's like, "Okay, now we can talk." And I was like, "Yes." So I'm not actually like this guy. So he had told me that every time he sent out one of these email newsletters, he would sell $4,000 worth of ebooks.
Wow.
And I had this vision. I was like, "Man, he sends out three a week, if he would let me write just one of them and give me 10%, that'd be $400 a week. That'd be $1,600 a month. That would be life-changing money. That would pay my car payment, pay my rent, and I'd have money left over. But I should probably start paying my taxes this time around." So that's what I was really hoping for.
Right.
And, you know, we started chatting, and Eben did me one better. He offered me a full-time job as a guy doing like a customer service guy, basically answering questions that came in about the ebook. And he offered me $3,000 a month salary, starting salary, and that was life-changing money for me. Like, it literally changed my life.
Wow. That's awesome. Can you stick around for a minute?
Sure.
Awesome. I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back.
Now you can get your healthy superfoods in one drink with no shopping, no blending, no juicing.
Welcome back to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we've been diving in deep with Craig Clemens on his background and how he got started as a copywriter. And we left off a little bit about where you were talking about working for Eben, getting started as a customer service job after struggling for several years. And welcome back to the show, Craig.
Thank you. This is fun.
Cool, man. Well, I guess along the way here so far, because you telemarketing, kind of a sales and testing out some sales letters and scripts and stuff, what were maybe one or two tips that you learned from a sales and marketing perspective that have helped you today?
Yeah, so when I started working for Eben, I didn't write the sales copy right away. I was answering customer service questions, but eventually he started grooming me to write those newsletters on a consistent basis. And also the longer form sales letters that would get people to buy the new products. So for example, Eben made a course called Meeting Women Online, and he and I worked together to write the sales letter that got people to buy that course, right?
Right.
So one of the first things he taught me was that when you're writing a sales message to someone, you should speak as though you're speaking directly to just one person, and that is the best way to build a connection with them. So one thing you would never do, for example, is like, you know, if you're sending out an email to your list, even if there's a million people on the list, you would always start off and be like, "Hey, man," not like, "Hey, you guys," or "Hey, all you million people out there," right, whatever. You know, because the instant you remind them that they're on an email list and then, you know, they're one of thousands of people reading it, it dilutes the message and it doesn't seem like a one-on-one conversation.
Sure.
So you start off speaking one-on-one, and you know, some of the technology allows you to insert the name too, which is even better. So you can, you know, say, "Hey, Josh, I want to thank you for opening this message because I'm going to share with you today a secret I've found about meeting women and getting dates that has been transformative for me, and I think it'll work great for you as well. But I want to tell it to you, and then you can try it out and let me know what you think." So that's the right way to do it. The wrong way to be like, "Hey guys, I found out this new secret. I want all you guys to go try it out and, like, you know, report back and, you know, this and that." And it just is not as connected, you know?
Right. Okay.
So that's the biggest tip I can give to someone on how to create that intimate bond when you're writing a sales message, that I see a lot of people making the mistake of not doing that. So,
and then what, like, you know, when you target and you kind of zone in on who you're going to really focus as your audience, is that kind of the avatar that or that specific demographic of people that you're looking to attract? Or, like, I guess, how do you, you know, you figure that out for you?
Well, here's a great next tip that I recommend. You know, if you want to speak to someone in a connected manner, it helps to know them, right? So if you're talking to your best friend, you're going to speak to them a little bit differently than if you're talking to someone that you just like met before, you know?
Sure.
So another exercise that Eben taught me that has been very valuable is when you're sitting down to write a sales message for your brand, picture who that's going to and just picture one person who you think would be your ideal customer. And then put yourself in their shoes and actually sit down and write an autobiography as that person. So for seeing advice, you know, I would imagine that I was a 35-year-old guy with a couple of kids that just recently got divorced, is, you know, trying to just get back in the dating game and meet some new ladies and you know, get some new dates. And he's a little rusty. He hasn't done this since college. And, you know, and when you, and you're writing this autobiography, go deep in the details, man. Like, write down what your job is, what kind of car you drive, where you live, if you have children or not, what kind of hobbies you're into, and just, like, you know, paint that like customer avatar by like actually becoming that customer for a minute, and write down all your fears and hopes and dreams and all of that stuff too, and then flip the script. And when you decide to write, imagine that you're at a bar. And that person is sitting next to you, and you hear them tell the bartender about a problem that you have the answer to. And then you turn to them and say, "Hey, man, couldn't help but notice, you know, the conversation. I want to tell you something that I discovered that might help you." So
nice.
That's an Eben technique, the autobiography. And then the other technique of turning to someone that you're sitting next to a bar is a technique I got from John Carlton.
Oh, sure.
Who's a legendary copywriter. And then he says that's a good way to get yourself going and on the page, you know, when you're figuring out which way to start.
Right. No, that's awesome. And that, you know, that kind of creates a lot more clarity with, hey, how do I write and who do I write to? And then how to actually try to speak that language and connect with that person.
Yeah, and here's the third tip that I think is really valuable. So the first tip is speak directly to one person.
Right.
Second tip is to figure out who that person is and talk to them about their hopes, dreams, and desires. And the third tip is to think about what conversation that person is having in their mind. You know, what thoughts are going on inside their head. So, you know, if it's a dating advice customer, the things that he's probably thinking about is, you know, why is this girl I like not calling me back, you know, or how come I'm at this bar and all these other men seem to be talking to ladies and I'm not, you know, just like this is the question that's going on in his head, and then jump right in and into that conversation. So, for example, you could say, hey, man, have you ever found yourself out in a social situation and notice that the girl you wanted to talk to just wasn't available to talk to you, and you couldn't think of anything clever to go and strike up a conversation with her? I mean, every guy's been in that situation, right? Have you been in that situation, right, John? So, you know, and that's just like entering the conversation that any guy's having in their own head. You know, that's a Robert Collier technique, who's one of the all-time great copywriters, that you must enter the conversation that's going on in your prospect's mind. And when you do that, the prospect will automatically give you credit for knowing the solution to their problem also, you know, because they feel like you understand them.
No, those are some awesome tips. Excellent. So so you're working for Eben and you're writing, he just got, you know, the ability to start writing some sales copy with him. Kind of fill us in from there. What happened?
Yeah. So I was really fortunate to be able to have Eben there to tell me when my copy was good and when it sucked. And I'll never forget a big turning point to me. So there's a sales letter message formula that you see used a lot in different markets.
Okay.
And what it is you say, if you're looking to do X, then this will be the most important message you will ever read. So, hey, Josh, if you're looking to meet more women and get more dates this weekend, then this will be the most important message you'll ever read. Or if it's like, let's say you're selling a golf product. Hey, Josh, if you're looking to lower your golf score this weekend when you hit the course, then this will be the most important thing you read today. You know?
Right.
So I'll never forget this turning point that happened to me when I was writing a message, and there's this old formula that I was using that every copywriter knows. And it's like a proven way to start a sales message. And it's an if-then formula. And the way it works is you say, if you're looking to do X, then this message will be the most important message you'll ever read.
Right.
So using the dating advice market, it could say, if you're looking to meet more women and get more dates this weekend, then this could be the most important message you're ever going to read. Or let's say you're selling a golf product and say, if you're looking to lower your golf score and beat all your friends on the greens this weekend, then this message is going to be the most important thing you read today, right?
Sure.
So I was writing a newsletter and I'd started it off that same way. And I had said something like, hey, if you're looking to get more dates this weekend, then this will be the most important letter you ever read. Here's why. I just interviewed a guy for my dating guru series, and the things he revealed about starting conversations with women are just phenomenal. I learned one sentence from him that you can go up and say to any woman in a bar and it'll start a conversation without rejection. It gets her doing most of the talking. So it makes it an effortless conversation that you almost can't screw up. Right. So I'd written that. Yeah. That's kind of how this message went. Right. And I thought it was a really nice sales copy. I mean, who wouldn't want to learn on? And so I sent it to Evan and I was like, hey man, this is it. You can send this out on Friday. This is a message. And Evan's like, hey, okay, thanks. Can we jump on the phone for a minute? And I was like, sure, man. And I thought he was going to like be like, dude, I'm so proud of you. You know, this cop, awesome, right? And I got on the phone with him. And he's like, hey, man, you're better than this. I was like, what? What do you mean? This is good copy. And he's like, it is good copy. But what I wanted to get on the phone and talk with you about is that there's a next level here that – you're missing out on, and I think you can reach it if you put some more thought into this. And admittedly, I just like use that old formula for the intro, right. The if-then formula. You know, I hadn't put a lot of thought into it. But what Evan said is he said, look, who's this going out to? And I said, well, it's a guy who's on our email list. And he's like, has that guy been on our email list for a while? And I'm like, probably. And he's like, has he bought any of our products? And I'm like, I mean, I might have bought one or two. It's like, okay, well, what's that guy doing? It's Friday night, you know, like put yourself in his shoes. Like he's been on our email list for a while. Like he's sitting home on a Friday night. Like what's actually going to get him, guy who's on our list for a while, to like get really excited about this and pull out his credit card and buy a product that changes his dating life? Is it one of these old, like boring if then statements? And I was like, okay, let me think about this, you know?
Yeah.
So I came back and started writing again. And I don't remember exactly what I came up with that time, but what I did was I really thought about that customer. I thought about the avatar and I put myself in his shoes and I like, you know, thought about the autobiography thing. And what I came back with was something like, hey man, it's Friday night and tonight I want to talk to you about something a little personal. And it's something I don't really talk about in these newsletters very often. And it's loneliness, you know, because, for, you know, it wasn't that long ago when I felt really lonely in my life. I felt like all of my friends on the weekends were going out with women or, you know, had girlfriends or could go in a bar and meet a lot of women. And I not only like didn't have that, I didn't even know where to start. And, you know, I was playing a lot of video games at the time and I got really into computers and all that. And, you know, every once in a while, I would get a wild spark that, okay, I'm going to go out and meet some girls tonight. And then I'd go out and the same thing would happen. Like my friends would meet girls and I wouldn't. And I would just feel really disappointed and even more alone. You know, I haven't really gotten that deep into revealing this with you before, but I felt that it was important that I talk to you about like where I used to be, and it's because I want to share with you something that helped me back then that I think maybe could help you too. And you know what it is it's a little conversation tip that I learned from a guy that I just interviewed. And it reminded me about something I had done back in the day that helped me like not only get out and meet more women, but cure my loneliness and have an abundance of dates and actually be the guy in the social situation who would have the hot girl talking to them. So here it is.
Nice.
Okay, so that was something like that. You know, so you see like
the right, different. Yeah.
Well, that's like the first one's pretty good.
Right.
And the second one, though, is it's like really builds that connection, shows you exactly where you were in that, then, you know, that you were in that guy's shoes and like pulls all the way from the depths of loneliness to fun and excitement, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if I hadn't have had Eben there to tell me, hey, there is a next level, I would have sent out that first promo. It would have done okay. It would have got a few sales. And I would have just kept writing pretty good sales copy.
Sure.
But because I had him as my mentor to like smack me around a bit and tell me there was a next level, I learned to go a little deeper. And then, you know, we sent that out and it just absolutely crushed it. And even got like not just sales, but guys emailing me back, like, or emailing David D'Angelo back and saying, hey, thank you for sharing this. Like, you know, sometimes you seem a little larger than life. And like, this felt really like, now I know that you've been where I was and I feel like even more like, that I can learn from you.
Wow. That's cool. That's awesome.
So, yeah. So I guess my fourth tip would be, go deep and always think what's the next level.
Nice. And that's awesome. You had, obviously a mentor around you as well. I mean, I think that plays a big role in, helping push us along. And like helped you, you know, raising where you were at with your copy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Cool. And then, what'd you do? So you worked for Eben for a few years and then, what did you dive into after that?
Yeah. So he and I worked together for 5 years. It was, you know, I got a world-class education on marketing. Thankfully, I started an affiliate marketing company on the side. Cool. With my two brothers, we were doing some lead generation stuff. And today we run a company that does nutritional supplements.
Okay. And skincare products. Awesome. And do your brothers work with you in the business now too, or are you kind of
all? Yeah. We're all business partners.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
So a nice family affair. And it's funny because my brothers are completely different than I am.
Sure.
So my brother Mark is more like engineer analytical mindset. I always come in with these like big awesome ideas that I think are awesome, and then he'll be like, oh no, that's not gonna work because of this. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? Well, you're actually right though, so I have to shut up. It's been good to have opposite minded people to balance me out, you know. Someone is thinking of learning copywriting and wants to make a living out of it, it's something else to think about. You know, you can go freelance and write for brands and businesses. Sure. And you can make a really nice living doing it. Another way to make a living as a copywriter is to partner with someone who is more of an operator type person.
Okay.
That will run the nuts and bolts of the business. So you can focus on the sales and marketing. And that's the type of partnership I have with my two brothers right now.
Awesome.
And we have another partner as well who handles all the ugly financial stuff that we don't know anything about. With like, yeah. You know, our own merchant accounts and corporations and things like that. You know.
Like, I'll leave that to him.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so I guess, you know, what is your, you know, your passion with all of this and, you know, where do you want to eventually see, you know, see this to happen, you know, to go for you and your brothers?
Yeah. So, I mean, I love our current, operation and I'm having more fun working than I ever have in my life, but my passion is, is twofold. I want to pass this stuff on. I want to teach as many people as possible how to become a great copywriter, because if you take someone down the street and you ask them what a copywriter is, they don't even know. They think it's making sure patents are protected or something like that. You know, and copywriter is actually a really shitty word to describe what we do. It's really more like we're brand storytellers. You know, so sure. I want to introduce people to this career that can give a lot of wealth and freedom to someone who's willing to put the time in. You know, and it wasn't not an overnight success for me. You know, for 3 years, I only listened to marketing programs. You know, I didn't listen to music in my car. I only like streaming audiobooks and things like that. And yeah. Evan was making me write 10 pages of copy a day. And that's an important part too, is actually putting the writing work in, you know. But if you're willing to put the work in, the magic of the skill of copywriting is that it's a unique skill. Because not a lot of people know about it, there's not a lot of competition.
Right.
So if you're willing to put the time in to get good, you are almost guaranteed to make good money, and you can, people you can partner with are limitless. There will always be businesses that need copy, whether it's, high economic times or low. You just might be selling something different.
Right. Okay. And so, you know, you were saying you wanted to kind of pass this on. Are you coming out with a course or a book, or, to kind of pass along your knowledge, or what do you do?
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah. So I'm actually writing two books right now. They say if you chase two rabbits, you catch none. And that's probably why it's taken me a long time to get them done. But the two books I'm writing is one of them is on copywriting and how to learn the skill and then make a living doing it. And then the other book is about basically just like getting your shit together, because it wasn't that long ago where I was a 23-year-old binge drinking maniac that was, basically unemployable. I think that's
a lot of unemployable
because you can't get a job anywhere else. Right.
Right.
So I graduated high school with a 1.7 GPA. I was fired from every job I ever had until I got into phone sales. I think I got fired from, three of those jobs as well. Different reasons. I discovered this thing of copywriting, and it allowed me to do okay for a while. But then when I was really able to take my craft to the next level is when I actually got my shit together as a man and started applying myself. And I've come up with some productivity principles that I follow every day. And actually, if people Google, I wrote an article. It's called How to 10X Your Income in 4 Years.
Okay.
And there I outlined 7 things I did that allowed me to 10X my income in a 4-year period. And you can just Google my name, Craig Clemens, and 10X Your Income, and the article will pop up.
Cool.
And I was so blown away by the feedback I got from that article and how many people have reached out to me and told me that they use these principles to get their shit together and make more money doing it. And I think there's a book there as well. So that's another book I'm writing, is talking about those 7 principles and a few more that I have, and how to actually like apply them into your life to just become a better person. Sure. and also accomplish more. And making more income is a side product of that, really.
Right. Definitely. No, that's awesome, and that's exciting. What so who would you say, if people wanted to break into the copy field, who do they need to go out and kind of study and start to learn from out there right now?
Yeah, so the first book to read is called My Life in Advertising. It's by a guy named Claude Hopkins. He was like the original copywriter back in the early 1900s, and he built some huge brands that are still around today using the same principles of speaking to someone one-on-one and writing engaging advertising that we use today to, sell dating products or nutrition and, things like that. And his book is fascinating about how he put brands on the map, like Pepsodent toothpaste and Bridgestone tires and Schlitz beer, things that just lasted for decades because they were just well positioned with great sales copy. So that's the first book I recommend everyone read. And the second resource is the Gary Halbert Letter.
Sure.
I'm sure you're familiar with Gary Halbert. Yeah, so Gary Halbert unfortunately passed on a few years back, but he was the best of the best when it came to writing sizzling sales copy that would just like blow you away. So Dan Kennedy, who's another legendary copywriter, used to say that if you're going against Gary Halbert in a market, you're going to have your numbers down extremely well as far as what you're going to sell them on the back end. And that means what they will buy after they buy your initial product.
Right.
Because you can't outsell Gary on the front end. You simply cannot ever write an ad that will beat Gary Halbert's ad for an initial product. So you have to figure out
make it up on the back
monetizing later. So Gary Halbert used to write a letter that he charged $200 a year to subscribe to, and he'd send it out once a month. And his sons, Bond and Kevin, who are great friends of mine, maintain a database of all of his letters on their website. It's the GaryHalbertLetter.com. And they've actually put up a product where they have some of the top copywriters of today reading those letters and giving their own input and find it on iTunes. And I was really honored to be chosen to read one of Gary's letters in that program.
Cool.
And I would say that those two things are great starting points for someone who's looking to become a copywriter, or someone who's looking to learn how to be able to identify great copy written by other people, or just increase their business in any way, because the strategies that you learn when you're studying copywriting and communication of this manner will increase any type of business, whether you're actually going to be doing the bulk of the writing yourself or just applying the principles to your entire sales funnel.
And also too, you said what, writing 10 pages a day is a good action step as well.
So I narrowed down the process of what it takes to master copywriting to four things.
Okay.
And I actually think this mastery process can be applied to anything. I've personally tested it only in writing sales copy, but I bet you could apply it to a musical instrument, or learning to be a professional trampoliner, or whatever, right? So those principles are immersion, which means immersing yourself in the world. So you got to be reading copywriting books. You got to be listening to the audio programs, studying great ads that you see running often. If you see an ad running often, that means it's a successful ad because someone's paying money to advertise it. So grab an issue of Cosmo magazine and then do it again the next month. And if you see the ad running two months in a row, it's a good ad. Immersion is the first principle of learning. The second one is to have a great mentor. So, try to find someone that will be a mentor to you is the best part, is the best way to do it. Or go work at a company that hires copywriters, because when you're at a company, you not only get the benefit of being immersed in it every day, right, with other people who are interested in it, but you're automatically going to have a mentor in the form of your boss is likely to be excellent copy chief. So you can have the benefit of getting a mentor and that immersion at the same time. So that's what I recommend for the first two things. And then I'm pulling out my notes here to make sure I say in the right order. So immersion, mentorship, and then application. You got to do it. You got to write the 10 pages every day, at least 5 days a week, if you want to do it good. You can learn a lot about copy, reading advertising, and listening to audio programs, but you'll never become a great copywriter unless you write copy yourself and write a ton of it.
Sure.
And you're going to write a lot of shitty copy before you start writing great copy. So that's the three steps is immerse yourself, find a mentor, and then do the frickin' work. Right.
Yeah.
And the best place to do that is just go get a job at an ad agency or at a company like my own, where you can get in there, you're immersed, you've got mentors looking over your shoulder, telling when your copy is good or bad, and forcing you to write the damn copy, and you're getting paid to train. And then the fourth principle that I think is essential to mastering any skill is time. And my theory is that if you do the first three, if you do the immersion, if you find a mentor, and then you do the work, all you need to do at that point is put the time in, and you are guaranteed to master that.
Right. Yeah, no, those are excellent tips for sure.
Yeah, and the time is going to be different for other people, and you're going to reach different levels, you know? So it took me 6 months before I could write something that Evan would mail to the email list.
Right.
And then it took me another, you know, 2-3 years before I would write something that would sell one of our bigger course products, you know?
Okay.
It's one thing to be able to write a short email newsletter, but then to be able to write a long form piece that's like 30 pages, you know, asking someone to invest $200 of their hard earned money takes another level of skill. And then after that, you know, it was a few more years before I could write something that would get conversions off of cold banner traffic. And that means someone just browsing around the internet that clicks on a banner ad that decides to buy something you have created versus someone who's already on an email list and in the funnel, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I put that time in and get to the mastery point because the higher you climb on these levels, the more your skill will be worth to a business owner who is employing you or contracting you to write copy.
No, that's awesome. And I mean, I think we got just so much awesome nuggets of information for our listeners out there today. And I really appreciate you sharing it.
Yeah, man. Great to be here. I have to say, I've done a few of these interviews, and this one, I think I was able to drop the most knowledge on how to become a great copywriter and, you know, make a living for yourself doing this, incredibly exciting thing. So, thanks for having me, man. I love sharing it.
Oh yeah, no problem. It's an honor to have you on. So what's one little piece of advice you would want to share out with, you know, any of our entrepreneurial listeners out there?
Entrepreneurial listeners, I would say that focus is fucking huge, man. Like I see a lot of these other entrepreneur people going around talking about hustle. You got to hustle 17 hours a day, and, you know, hustle on the weekends and work 7 days a week. And I'm like, fuck that, man. Like, you know, I work a lot of days because I love it, but like I don't work a long time, you know. And what I do instead is focused work. I think focus and immersion are more powerful than hustle. So one of my favorite focus methods is to work on a timer. And what I do is I'll work for 33 minutes on.
Okay.
And then at 33 minutes, I'll take a 6 minute break.
Right.
And I use that number because that's what Eugene Schwartz, who's one of the great all-time copywriters, used to do, is 33 minutes on, 6 minutes off. And then once I start cranking, I'll do 50 minutes on, 50,
right,
and 10 minutes off. And during that 10 minutes, if you really want to speed up your production and get your brain working, do something physical, man, like do a set of sit-ups or push-ups, you know, eat a snack, bathroom, and then like something physical to get that blood flowing through your body and into your brain. And that's when you'll be doing your best work, is when you're doing this focused work. And I guarantee you, if you're doing 5 hours a day of focused work, you will kick the shit out of someone who's doing 10 hours a day of just like, you know, scat crap. I'm sorry, but that's how it is, man. I'm all about that Pareto principle of finding the 20% that makes the 80%.
Right.
And this is it in effect, man, you know?
And no, that's awesome. That's funny you say that because I use a pretty similar – I use like – I use 50 to 55 minutes on and then anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes. And I go do some kind of exercise and get the blood moving, drink water and everything too. And it makes a huge difference in productivity and focus.
Yeah, yeah. I got my water and my coffee next to me to keep balance, you know. And yeah, after this, I'm going to go do a set of squats and turn that timer on and start writing.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, and I think I heard something when you were talking about – is you kind of hack the whole workout process for you, you know, throughout the week through utilizing big movement forms with, you know, squats and deadlifts and bench and things like that. And
yeah, I do the same thing with workouts because I don't want to be in the gym for a fucking hour, you know.
Right.
I like to get them out in 30 minutes. So I go do my deadlift, I do my weighted pull-ups, you know, and then I do like one other back exercise. That's it. I'm done with that day.
Yeah.
The next day it's bench press, squats, and dips. Yeah. And I've worked like all the muscle groups, you know, and then the last day I do shoulders and abs. And like the workouts are 30 minutes long. I'm in the best shape of my life. And I get just as good a workout as someone – or as I used to do when I would go in there for an hour and just be dicking around and doing like fucking – like a fucking curl with your wrist,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
Fucking like – you'd be like, no, man, that's bullshit. Stop doing that shit, man. Just do the stuff that makes the – most impact. And when it comes to writing, that's working on a damn timer, focused work, one thing, no Facebook, no cell phone, no bullshit. In a gym, that's focusing on the one exercise that works the biggest muscle group. So squats, deadlift, bench press, chin-ups, dips, you know. Yep. This thing can be applied throughout your life, and you'll get a lot more done. You'll have a lot more free time to then go fuck off on Facebook.
There you go. cool, Craig. Well, where can people get more information about you? Oop, did we freeze? Hey, where can people get more information about you?
You can find me on Facebook, on Instagram. Craig Clemens on Facebook, Craig R. Clemens on Instagram. If you know the fucker that has the name without the R in it, I'm looking for him. I'm putting out a lot of test content on my Facebook page, though, you know, to see what people want right. in this book, and just publishing a lot of free stuff. I don't have anything to sell yet. Sorry. Someday. So right now I'm just giving away all this shit for free. So drop me a line on there. And I love passing this stuff on.
Cool, man. Well, it was awesome to again have you on the show today, and it was an honor.
Thanks, Josh, for having me, man. Really, really fun doing this with you.
For sure. I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Making Bank is also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.